Hi, I'm Erin. I hail from the Ohio State University, and I'd like to discuss Japanese beetles and an approach to their management. So if you look at the picture, there's our pest at hand, and it's doing what it does best, namely it is eating a bunch of leaves and making more Japanese beetles. It was introduced in the United States around 1916, and it rapidly became an important pest. And some of the reasons that it's such a big pest are because they're gregarious, they amass these great numbers, and they're generalists. They feed on over 400 species. This is both adults feeding on foliage above ground and from the grubs that are doing damage to roots in turf grass. And chiefly through the turf grass damage, they cost about $450 million a year in control. What my picture is it's a stand of sassafras trees that have been damaged by Japanese beetles. All the leaves are skeletonized and turning brown, and it can really have a detrimental effect on ornamentals, as well as causing brown spots in your turf grass from the damage caused by feeding grubs. We do have plenty of current control methods that are being used. For instance, you can plant non-hosts in hopes that you won't attract them to your area in the first place. If you have a small area of ornamentals you're trying to control, you can hand pick them off. And the most well-known form of control is this pheromone trap that you can purchase at your local store. These can be used for monitoring, and also homeowners like to use these to collect beetles that are near their property. It's kind of an infamous trap. Sometimes it can collect more beetles than it's able to kill, but the lure is really effective. Chemical insecticides are the primary way that we control the beetle. This is mostly used against the grubs that are feeding in the soil, but due to some legal changes, some of these chemicals that we're using may come under scrutiny. So for that reason, developing new biological control approaches is more desirable. The approaches that we have so far are bacterial milky disease. It's also commonly known as milky spore. It's used on the soil, and it can build up populations and help control grubs. And also entomopathogenic nematodes are also commonly used and being increasingly used. What I would like to do is to take the trap that has been developed and turn it into a place where beetles can come and pick up these pathogens, such as entomopathogenic nematodes. And I've got an extra spin where I'm trying to use Bavaria bastiana, an entomopathogenic fungus, and I'm using a formulation called Botanigard. And I would like to see if beetles can pick this up in the trap as well. We have done some background work. For instance, our lab found that plenty of different entomopathogenic nematodes are able to kill adult Japanese beetles, which is a change because usually they're used against the larvae in the soil. And also Botanigard, the formulation of Bavaria bastiana, is able to kill adult Japanese beetles as well. Now, I am in no way the first person that has done this type of work. For instance, Lacey et al. In 1995 found that Steinernema glaceri can infect and kill adult Japanese beetles. And further, Klein and Lacey in 1999 found that adult Japanese beetles can be lured to a trap and pick up Metarhizium anisopliae, which is an entomopathogenic fungus, and become infected. So knowing that we can use nematodes, we can use fungi to kill the adult Japanese beetles, I want to know, when we take these out of context of in the lab and put them out in the field, can they still cause infection? Being outdoors is very dangerous for a nematode, for a fungus, because they are not protected from UV radiation. They're not, they don't necessarily have high relative humidity guaranteed, which is important for both of these organisms. And also temperature can become very harsh, especially in Ohio. Hot summers, temperatures can reach in the 90s. And then the second question is, while previous experiments that I have done have involved locking the beetles up for 12 hours to ensure that they get enough contact, I want to know what happens when a beetle comes to the trap and decides by itself how long it's in there. What if the beetle flies in and is only in there for 60 seconds? What if it's in there for an hour? So I want to know, can the beetles themselves pick up the pathogen and then die? So knowing that, this is the experiment. I'm working off of the trap that was designed by Klein and Lacey, and this is designed to hook onto the standard trap that I showed you in the beginning. If you look at where it says trap attachment in the top right, that's where the actual lure screws in, and then the beetles will fall into that lure and fall down through the little funnel into the side of there, where inside of the trap there would be a petri dish filled with either my nematodes or the fungus. And then once they crawl their way out, because I give them a little sponge ramp to walk out, then they make their way towards the other end of the trap. And the reason they make their way that way is because there's a plexiglass window on the other end that allows light to come in. So they walk towards the light, and then they stumble and fall out through the trap funnel at the bottom. In the vision of how this would work in the field, the beetles would then fly off on their own to go die. But in my case, I've got a container attached to the bottom so that I could take samples of them and then assess them for mortality after they've been treated. Here's the actual trap in that picture, all hooked up. And the way that I loaded it up is that I took petri dishes and filled them with 50,000 Steinonema scarabaei per trap in water and put that into the trap. And I did the same thing using Botanigard after I've mixed it with water at the high volume application concentration. And I also had a control that was just plain tap water that went into these traps. I set them up in the morning, and then after 12 hours, I came back and took a sample of 10 beetles. And I also came back at 24 hours and took a sample of 10 beetles from each trap. And I took those beetles, put them in plastic cups along with sassafras leaves, and assessed their mortality for the next 7 days. Additionally, I saved the cadavers so that I could dissect to confirm presence or absence of nematodes or to observe the development of hyphae in the fungal treatments. And what was found is when I took samples after the trap had been set up for 12 hours, Steinonema scarabaei was not able to cause significantly different control than my control treatment. And additionally, in those dissected, 0% of the cadavers tested positive for nematodes. On the other hand, the Botanigard treatment, that's the fungus, was able to cause over 80% mortality 7 days after treatment. And out of those that died, 74% showed signs of fungal infection. When I did the 24-hour samples, so at this point the pathogen had been out in the weather for 24 hours, I came up with nearly identical results. The Steinonema scarabaei was again ineffective, but Botanigard was able to cause over 80% mortality. Dissecting the cadavers, I found again no nematodes in the nematode treatments, and 77% of those killed in the fungal treatment tested positive for fungus. What this brings us to in the end is that while I know that different kinds of nematodes are able to kill adult Japanese beetles, somehow in this aqueous environment of the water dish, they're unable to latch on and penetrate in the beetle. So more work should be done to find other formulations, other methods of bringing the beetles in contact with the nematode. Now, I did do this entire setup using moist sand and nematodes in moist sand, so the nematodes are able to move more. But I found that that was not effective in the hot summer weather and that the sand dried out way too quickly, so that experiment didn't work either. Secondly, significant mortality occurs when you expose Japanese beetles to Botanigard, and so a logical next step would be to try and find if there is autodissemination potential of Botanigard in particular. That means when the beetle picks up the infection and flies out the bottom of that trap, what happens when it goes and rubs up against the other beetles when they're on the leaves being gregarious? Or what happens when it goes down to the soil and dies? Does that pathogen go into the soil and affect the offspring? With that, I would like to give thanks to Dr. Parwinder Graywall, my advisor, and my lab group, as well as Dr. Luis Canyas for help with statistical analysis. Any questions? Yes.
Have you looked at shorter time portions than 12 hours?
No.
I have not.
Do you have
any predictions?
Well, the Bavaria bassiana, I would say, in an experiment I did a few years ago, I ran them through a chamber where they walked through, and then I collected as soon as they came out the other end, and some of them came out as early as 30 minutes, and I still had really high mortality. But I don't have... They weren't all necessarily out within a few minutes, so I can't make any conclusions with that. Yes?
Have you checked the mortality of the nematodes like in the traps afterwards to see if they weren't infected because they were dying or because the beetles just weren't?
Good question. Did I check the mortality of the nematodes that were in the petri dish to see if they were dead? Yes. After I took samples of beetles, I also took samples of the liquid in there, and in all cases, I found that there were nematodes alive and well in the trap. Thank you.